episode 5. We're going to talk about the Buffalo Soldiers, my man John Denny. But before that, we have a new addition to the Little Military History Podcast team, and that is Sergeant First Class retired Dave McCray, two-time Iraq War veteran, Purple Heart recipient, combat medic badge holder, overall legend. But, and you know, he's a great NCO, he was a great leader, he's a great friend. Served under him for like 3 to 4 years when I was in the North Carolina National Guard, and his knowledge of military campaigns and battles is unmatched. Big history guy, but you know, we take some trips to Gettysburg, things like that. Learned a lot from him about that time frame of stuff. He'll definitely be an asset and, you know, give us things to talk about on this. And this topic was actually brought up by him, so he will he'll be doing some research stuff, and you know, he'll probably be on some of these too in the future, but he's part of the team now, so I'm looking forward to that. But John Denny, he, you know, Sergeant McCray, Dave McCray forwarded me this guy's name, told me to look into him a little bit, and as I looked into him, it kind of opened the whole rabbit hole of, you know, what we're going to talk about today. So John Denny was a Buffalo Soldier, and before looking up stuff on John Denny, I kind of knew what the Buffalo, who and what the Buffalo Soldiers were, right? There's a song about him. I mean, people probably heard the song, but I didn't realize how important they were until I started researching this stuff about John Denny. So before we get into John Denny, I want to talk a little bit about the Buffalo Soldiers. So in 1866, Congress passed an act that created 6 all-black peacetime units. And ultimately, even though 6 were authorized by law, they were really consolidated into 4 units. And it was the 9th Cav, the 10th Cav, the 24th, and the 25th Infantry. And you know, this was the first creation of a all-black unit in a peacetime army. So during like the Civil War, we saw, you know, all-black units fight for the Union. For example, like the Massachusetts 54th Volunteer Infantry, they were an all-black unit. There was handfuls of them throughout the Union side. And even if you go back to some of the Revolutionary War stuff, there was all-black units or black soldiers that fought. But this was the first time that units during peacetime were stood up. So think about the time frame, right? Like the Civil War ended the year previous, and it'll kind of put you in this picture. But so these 4 all-black units ultimately were given the nickname as the Buffalo Soldiers. There's 2 theories. Well, there's probably more than 2 theories, but there's 2 real common theories of why they got those names, and I'm going to go with this one. And this theory is during a battle with the Plains Indians, the soldiers had fought with bravery and ferocity, and it reminded the Native Americans they were fighting of the way a buffalo fought. So they were nicknamed the Buffalo Soldiers from the natives that they fought at that time. The 10th Cav eventually actually used the buffalo symbol as the regimental crest. So if you're not familiar with kind of like military setups and stuff like that, regimental crest, typically like a company or a battalion, normally a battalion or bigger will have one. And the 10th Cav used a buffalo symbol as theirs somewhere after the late 1800s. So the other theory had to do with like the physical appearance of the black soldiers and how the natives said that they could have looked like buffalo, as far as like the buffalo having darker fur and, you know, darker eyes and things like that. Reading about that theory, a lot of people debunked it though, because the natives considered buffaloes as sacred animals, and they more than likely would not nickname soldiers Buffalo Soldiers if it wasn't for kind of like a respect that they would have towards them or something similar to that. So we're going to go with they were named the Buffalo Soldiers because the natives not necessarily feared them, but they had some respect for them as a fighting force. So, these four units, the two cav units, two infantry units, at first, these units were commanded by white officers. And as you can imagine, in the mid to late 1800s, these soldiers experienced some pretty extreme racial prejudice from the army. All black units had to serve west of the Mississippi. They weren't even allowed to serve east of the Mississippi because many of the whites in those areas did not want these units serving in their communities or near their communities. And there's actually some accounts that the Buffalo soldiers were attacked and killed in some areas where there was white people living. Not sure if that was south of the Mason-Dixon line or north of it, but it is noted. And same thing I kind of mentioned before, you have to think of the time frame. The Civil War ended in 1865. Tensions were still extremely high in the country. The South had ultimately got beaten and surrendered, and there's a process of trying to rebuild the country, and you have Reconstruction starting, and then fast forward a little bit, and then you turn into the Jim Crow South. So things weren't ever really good in the South up until the mid 1900s. So the Buffalo soldiers' role in the army at the time was to support the westward expansion. So the Mississippi was kind of like the drawing line. East of the Mississippi was all already on its build-up, and the states were already there. The westward expansion west of the Mississippi was something that they were ultimately there to support. So one, it was to protect the settlers that were expanding west, and the ultimate goal was to make it to the Pacific Ocean and have what we now know as the United States become the United States. And then the same thing, too, stretch as far south down as we could go into Texas and past Texas. So you had these Buffalo soldiers ultimately protecting these settlers, and then they were building roads and infrastructures, railroads, things like that, buildings, and they were also guarding the U.S. mail. So the postal carriers were also being guarded by these Buffalo soldiers. They served in the Great Plains in the Southwest, and they participated in pretty much every campaign in what is known as the Indian War or the Indian Wars. So, like pre-Revolutionary War, there was the French and Indian War in kind of what we know as like this area right now. The Indian Wars are kind of expanded from that, and they're kind of grouped into different time frames. So the Indian Wars that are referenced right now would be the ones that took place in the post-Civil War time frame, or like towards the end of the Civil War time frame, leading up into the early 1900s. And these Buffalo soldiers were present in most of the campaigns with the natives, fighting the natives in those Indian wars. The Buffalo soldiers were, involved in those conflicts, and I don't want to shine anything negative on them, but it is worth kind of considering that those Indian wars, in today's standard, a lot of that could be considered genocide in some way, shape, or form. And the only reason I bring that up is because not many people in the public, in the U.S. public at the time, knew what was going on the kind of the Western frontier when it came down to the military and their dealings with these native tribes. And I also don't want the Buffalo soldiers to take any blame for that because ultimately they were following an order whenever they were in a conflict or anything like that. But I just think it's really ironic that the Buffalo soldiers were fighting Native Americans on behalf of our government, but the U.S. really didn't accept either group at the time as equal. So, there's just a lot of irony in that. But pushing forward, more or less, the Buffalo soldiers were also present for the Spanish-American War, the Philippine-American War, the Mexican Border War, World War One, and even World War II. And it really wasn't until the 1950s where these all-black units were incorporated into regular units. So during the Civil War, these all-black units had actually racked up a bunch of Medal of Honors. I think 25 of them total in the Civil War. In the Indian Wars, there's 18 Medal of Honors given. In the Spanish-American War, there's 6. When you look at World War I, there's only 2. So what happened between the Civil War to World War I was kind of the discrimination part of these black units. So they coming into World War I, most of these Buffalo units, the Buffalo Soldier units, the 9th, 10th Cav, 25th, and 24th Infantries were left here in the United States, and they were pushed to, even parts of the Philippines and stuff like that, but to more or less maybe guard the border between Mexico and the United States, or to kind of try to keep peace in the Philippines. The black soldiers that were able to go overseas for World War I, for the most part, were kept in support units. They weren't typically your combat fighters. So there was some units that came about during World War I, and they were ultimately put under French control, and they actually, did quite well for the French and were given some French awards. And it started to kind of change that stigma of the black soldier of like, really at the end of the day, these dudes are fully capable and just as competent as anybody else. And it started to kind of show itself again because it had been a pretty big stretch of time from the Civil War to now, if now was, if you're sitting in World War I. So you fast forward to World War II, and same thing, it was kind of these all black units were like kind of in the support role, and it wasn't until like 1942 where you started to see these units training up to go into the combat theater, and then it really wasn't even until like 1944 in Italy and parts like that where you saw these units, being in that fighting role and that infantry role or things like that. So in 1951, these all black units were finally disbanded and they incorporated them into the regular units. So, you think about 1951, really wasn't that long ago. And now being in the military, I couldn't picture any different than it is now as far as it being, people from all walks of life in all places that ultimately serve together. And I think that's what makes the United States military so great is that if you look at all the other countries in the world, a lot of them are kind of from this, they're cut from the same cloth, I guess you could say, right? So, like, if you go to some of these smaller countries, they're not that diverse. There's not that many different groups of people that are serving in that particular military, right? So, like, Slovenia, for example, is a super small country on the outside of Italy. You're not going to have people from 50 different countries that are in their military, right? You look at our military, you have people from probably any and every country on the map. If you throw a dart and hit a country, there's going to be somebody represented in our military from that place. So, you kind of think back where we were in 1951 to where we are now, and it's, thankfully we've made that much progress. So, the Medal of Honor I've kind of talked about before. Really, it's the highest award that can be given in the military, and it's called the Congressional Medal of Honor, right? So as of 2015, there was 3,470 Medal of Honors awarded, and only 91 of those were given to African American soldiers. So 25 of those were during the Civil War, like I said before. 18 of them were during the Indian War, and that's kind of where we see our man John Denny. And then 6 were during the Spanish American War, 2 in World War One. 0 in World War II initially until 1992. 7 were issued after having other awards upgraded, and probably rightfully so. And then there was 2 given in the Korean War and 22 in Vietnam. But John Denny, Medal of Honor recipient from Big Flats, New York. I have no idea. Well, I had no idea where Big Flats, New York was. I thought it was maybe like an old town. But apparently it is west of Elmira, so this is for you Southern Tier people that listen. John Denny was born in 1846 in Big Flats. He entered service in 1867. So he was what? Do the math. 20, 21? 21 years old, and he joined the army. On 18 September 1879, while serving with Charlie Company, the 9th Cav, in a battle with an Apache tribe in New Mexico, Sergeant Denny removed a wounded comrade under heavy fire to a place of safety. And during that day, Sergeant Denny's actions would ultimately get him the Medal of Honor. It wasn't until 15 years later, though, that that award was actually issued to him. It's not quite sure if it was just because it took that long for the story to make it to the top, or, maybe because his leadership was in a position where they could actually recommend it at that time. Not quite sure. But 15 years later, John Denny was ultimately issued the Medal of Honor. And he retired from the Army in 1887. So shortly, well, I mean, I guess he retired before he's even given the Medal of Honor, right? 1879, 1887, that's only 8 years later, yeah. So, ultimately he was given the Medal of Honor after his service was completed. He retired from the Army in 1887. He actually worked at one of the bases post exchange. So if you haven't been on a military base before, we call it the PX, but the PX is like the store that's on the base. So he worked there until somewhere around like 1899 to 1900. He moved and retired completely, but he moved to the U.S. Soldiers Home in Washington, D.C., and he died at the age of 54. So a lot of the stuff that I found for this one, came from various sites and stuff that was provided from David McRae, but the Smithsonian National Museum of African American History and Culture also had a lot of stuff on this guy. But I did find it interesting that, we do a lot of readings about Medal of Honor recipients in the Army, and like some of the schools I've gone to, every morning we have to read one of them, and normally the citations are a lot longer than what we saw with this guy. And I don't know if it was because of the time frame or whatever, but it was really only a couple sentences. I mean, I've read some that are pages long or a whole page or something like that, and in this case, it was only two or three sentences, and basically was along the lines of Sergeant John Denny had saved a wounded comrade under an intense enemy fire. So I would really be curious to see what the entire transcript read that they issued and, submitted the award for. But ultimately the Buffalo Soldiers paved the way for kind of the desegregation of the military, right? So these guys often fought with shittier equipment than everybody else, or were treated worse and were given kind of some of the crappy details and crappy jobs, and nonetheless they came to the fight. They fought courageously and they served a country who at times treated them like garbage. So hats off to these guys, hats off to John Denny, and that's our episode five. So same thing I kind of say it at the end of all of them. If you haven't subscribed to the Little Military History Podcast on whatever app or platform you listen to, please do so. Some of the platforms you are spared from listening to the advertisements. So, if you listen on CastBox and things like that, you don't have to listen to them, which is cool. But, give me a subscribe and same thing. Follow us on Facebook, the Little Military History Podcast. If you have any ideas for future episodes, please drop them. It'll give something for McRae to do and something for him to look up. And then it'll also give us some ideas too. So thank you for listening.